Thank you, Chair Wolf. Okay, so item 9 is amending the water quality control plan for the Central Coast Basin to revise beneficial use designations and to make editorial changes. This agenda item is a hearing to adopt a resolution to amend the water quality control plan for the Central Coast Basin, also known as the Basin Plan. These recommended changes improve the clarity and effectiveness of the Basin Plan through a combination of regulatory and non-regulatory amendments. The regulatory amendments are additions of beneficial uses for 10 water bodies within the region. The non-regulatory amendments are editorial in nature and will not have a regulatory effect. And Steve Size of our staff will provide a brief presentation on this.
Okay, thank you, John. Good afternoon, Chair Wolf and fellow board members. My name is Steven Size, and I'm staff here, an environmental scientist. And I would like to talk about the amendments to the Water Quality Control Plan for the Central Coastal Basin, affectionately known as the Basin Plan. And a little bit upfront about the motivation for today's presentation. The Basin Plan, as we all know, is an essential document for water quality protection in our region. And we need to be cognizant of the fact that regulatory environment changes and that there's new laws, plans, and policies. And so the Basin Plan has to keep up with those changes by being amended. And we also are aware that there are some omissions in key areas in the Basin Plan that will be addressed by these amendments. And lastly, the board did direct staff to work on some of the amendments that, all of the amendments actually, that you will see in the package today. And I want to go back to 2014, where we had a list of priority issues that the board directed staff to work on. And just as some background, the Clean Water Act and also the California Water Code requires that we evaluate the adequacy of the Basin Plan every 3 years. We went through this process in 2014, and the board provided direction to staff to work on these projects that may result in future Basin Plan amendments. And we have made progress on priority number one, the watershed and integrated water resource protection, but that progress is still ongoing, and it was not ready for inclusion in today's package. But we did have we combined three issues that you see here, and if you go down the vision framework number 6 and number 9 comprehensive Basin Plan amendments, we had previously made much progress on those, so we combined all three of them into this package that represents progress made on these 2014 priority issues. Now, an overview of the rest of the presentation. I'm going to talk about the project description, the actual proposed amendments to the Basin Plan, the public participation process that we went through, and also our final recommendation. The amendment is split into two key areas. One are regulatory amendments, and the other are non-regulatory amendments. But any amendment to the Basin Plan has to follow the Basin Plan amendment process, so we are including the non-regulatory amendments because of that requirement. The regulatory amendments, as John mentioned, are to revise beneficial use designations for 10 specific water bodies in our region. And the non-regulatory amendments will not have a regulatory effect. And these are mostly revising maps and tables, revising citations to other regulatory laws and regulations, and also style issues and the numbering scheme of the outline of the Basin Plan. And there's a complete listing of all the of all these amendments in the technical report document that is an amendment or is an attachment to the package that the board on the board agenda. The regulatory amendments consist of revising beneficial uses for 10 surface water bodies, and that covers 6 hydrologic units. And I also, I like to remind myself of this quote from the State Water Board from an order in 2005 where they said that accurate and defensible beneficial use designations are important to ensure that the basin plan is a useful and credible document. And so we have identified these a few water bodies that need to have their beneficial use designations revised. And so this package of amendments is our plan to get one step closer to a basin plan that is more useful and credible. Also wanted to do a quick review of beneficial uses. The California Water Code defines beneficial uses of water as uses of water that may be protected from water quality degradation. And the basin plan designates beneficial uses for all waters of the region and also establishes water quality objectives in Chapter 3 of the basin plan to protect those beneficial uses. There are 23 beneficial uses defined in the basin plan, and we often use these shorthand abbreviations for the full definition of the beneficial uses. For example, we'll say Rec 1 when we're really talking about the full definition, that is full body immersion, bodily contact immersion in water. COM is shorthand for commercial and sports fishing. MIGR is use for water for migratory aquatic life, and spawn and so on is uses of water for fish spawning and so on. Now this is a table of all the regulatory parts of the amendment, and you can see that on the left side the column, the hydrologic unit, next column is the water body that we are revising the beneficial use for, and then the remaining columns are the beneficial uses abbreviations. And so this is actually an abbreviated version of the entire basin plan table 2-1, which assigns beneficial uses for 540 water bodies within our region. So the red X's you see there are proposed additions to the table and the amendment. And for every red X you see there, we have in our technical project report a full rationale and explanation for the need for the new designations. For example, you see Casmelia Canyon Creek down here at the bottom, and we're adding the rare, threatened, and endangered species beneficial use for that, and that's because of documented presence of the California red-legged frog and a federally endangered species. So this is a summarization table of all the regulatory amendments. I wanted to talk a little bit about the public participation process, and this is a process of the basin plan amendments. All basin plan amendments must follow this process. And so throughout the process, there are points where there's opportunity for public participation. We started this process with the scoping meeting in April. After the scoping meeting, we released a draft report, and that was out for a 45-day public comment period. We received 2 comment letters, and I'll talk about those comment letters later in the next slide. We revised the project report and our recommended amendments based on the comment letters. And today we are at the board hearing for approval or consideration of these amendments. After all basin plans also must go to the State Water Board for approval, and the Office of Administrative Law will review it for regulatory aspects, and the water quality standards portions of the basin plan also will need to be approved by the US EPA, and at that point we'll have an amended basin plan. We did receive two comment letters from the Monterey County Farm Bureau and the Grower Shipper Association, and the main comments concerned our addition of vision language in Chapter 1 of the basin plan, and also the designation of cold and migratory uses in two water bodies. And staff, we did look at those comments, and we concurred in part by removing one of our recommendations, or two of our recommendations, in the draft proposal to designate the cold in Tembladero and Salinas Rec Canal. And in fact, here's a slide that shows the before and after. In our April draft, we had designated these two water bodies with cold, or proposed to designate, and actually we looked at the comment letters, but also we reviewed the National Marine Fisheries Service documentation that originally led us to propose the basin plan amendment additions. And after a closer inspection of the National Marine Fisheries documentation, we decided that there really is no evidence for a cold water ecosystem to be in the Tembladero Slough and the Salinas Reclamation Canal. So we removed those in the final recommendation. And in fact, we did talk with one of the fisheries biologists at the National Marine Fisheries Office in Santa Rosa, and he agreed with our recommendation to not go forward with the cold in Tembladero Slough and Salinas Rec Canal. And so our recommendation is to amend the basin plan, and this will help to increase clarity and accuracy of the basin plan, and also to improve the effectiveness of water quality protection that is in the basin plan. And that's all I have. Thank you.
So thank you. I have a quick question. Why does the basin plan require US EPA approval? Is it because of a nexus with NIMS, you know, being more federal?
Well, that's under the Clean Water Act. All water quality standards actions have to be approved by the US EPA. So that's it. It's always that case for all basin plans. All states have to have the US EPA administrator approve their water quality standards actions.
Thank you for the clarification. Mr. Delgado?
Yes, thank you, Stephen, for your work on this issue. Something that I talked about during my briefing was the removal of cold beneficial uses for the Tembladero and the Rec Canal. And I'm wondering if you had any updates since that time of whether historically there was spawning in these bodies or not.
Yeah, I've tried to research this as much as possible by looking at all the documentation that I could find. And there's a continuum in the Salinas Rec Canal, starting sort of at Moss Landing, Old Salinas River, going upstream to Tembladero Slough, Salinas Rec Canal, and then around Salinas, it turns into the Gavilan Creek watershed, and that goes up into the Gavilan Range into the headwaters. And there's definite documentation of the presence of steelhead and rainbow trout in the Gavilan Range, and so that's one of the proposals that we have today, is designating that as a cold water fishery area. There is not so much documentation for downstream in the Salinas Rec Canal and the Tembladero Slough area, and when you look at the GIS layers that the National Marine Fisheries Service has provided, they have different layers for spawning of salmonids, rearing of salmonids, migratory passageways for salmonids, and presence of salmonids. And when you look at their layer for spawning of salmonids, it says unknown. So even the National Marine Fisheries does not know if that's a known spawning ground. I also tried to look at historical accounts, like anecdotal accounts, and there are plenty of examples for the upper range in the Gavilan Creek area, but there are no, I could not find any evidence that there was a historical spawning of salmonids in those two waterways.
All right, so then upstream, where you mentioned there was plenty of evidence for the presence of salmonids in Gavilan Creek, do you mean that there's also spawning documentation?
There was a pretty good master's thesis by a Cal State Monterey student, and they had a whole senior project that went up there and did habitat assessments of that for salmonids, and they had visual observations of juvenile rainbow trout up there.
So that would mean, that would indicate rearing, or would that
Yes.
indicate spawning?
Well, a rearing for sure, but it would imply spawning because all of the physical conditions are ideal almost in that, in the upper watersheds.
Okay.
If you look at like substrate and amount of water temperature, dissolved oxygen, the amount of shading, that it's not like that downstream in the Salinas Rec Canal.
All right. Thank you very much, Steven.
Steven, could you put up the table that you had listing the beneficial uses across? Right. Okay. So, you know, when we look at these, each of these may be addressing certain biological parameters, and there may be differences between them. Like for shellfish, I know, you know, bacteria, fecal coliform bacteria is an important constituent. For, you know, spawning and migration and warm and cold, what are the differences?
Well, the actual designations are based on the existence of the use, but I think you're getting at more of the water quality standards that are associated with those beneficial uses.
Correct.
So, for example, if a water body is designated as for cold, then it has a much higher requirement for dissolved oxygen, say.
Okay.
It's 7 milligrams per liter at least. And whereas if it's designated for warm but not cold, then the dissolved oxygen is not as stringent. It's only 5.
Okay.
So those are the
okay.
main differences.
But we're only dealing with parameters of water itself. For the most part, we're not dealing with, you know, like when we talk about spawning, we're not talking about access to spawning grounds.
We could be as a
parameter for maintaining spawning grounds.
We could be, because the beneficial use is not just for things that are occurring in the water body, it's also for the potential. If the water quality is such that it could be a ideal spawning ground, then under the Clean Water Act, we're supposed to designate that water body for that beneficial use.
What about impediments to migration up into a watershed? You may have identified spawning up here towards the higher elevations in a watershed for spawning, but what if fish can't get up there?
Yeah, that's a in most of the documents I reviewed, that's very important. That was one of the limiting factors that a lot of the fisheries biologists mentioned, that there's diversions, low flow conditions, and small dams and things like that that prevent fish. In fact, they found a dead gravid steelhead just north of Salinas, and it was in all regards healthy, but they theorized that it couldn't get higher up into the watershed because of a diversion right there, or a weir.
So what's our regulatory power to address that?
In terms of new impediments, it's clear they would require a 401, and we could deny the 401 certification. Our authority for existing, I think, is less clear to get things removed that were maybe, you know, legacy dams. You know, that's a whole different issue, and I think there are plans out there that work through those, and we do pretty regularly get projects through the 401 program where they're actually removing impediments, you know, based on like the steelhead recovery plan and the like. But actively requiring impediments to be removed, I'm not aware of our authority on that.
So with the 401 cert program, mm-hmm. I know when it has come to review of timber harvest plans and things of that nature, you know, the board, you know, a number of years ago when we were actually seeing those come before us, maybe those were in the days when Gearhart was member of staff, you know, we had wanted legacy issues addressed in issuing new 401 certs. Do we continue to go through that kind of a holistic or capturing the legacy with the new intended impediments when we issue 401 certs?
We do. I mean, if a project is going to be proposing impacts, we require mitigation appropriate to offset those impacts. And in a case where there's an opportunity to remove an impediment, that is a mitigation option we'll look at and ask the applicant to look at. If their impact really has no relation to impediments to access, we won't go that route because we link the mitigation to the impacts.
Okay. So is there a table with these beneficial uses and the specific requirements, water quality parameters associated with each one? Is it in the basin plan?
Yeah, that is okay. In the basin plan. Chapter 3 of the basin plan okay. has water quality objectives, and there's general objectives, and then there's objectives specifically for certain beneficial
okay.
uses.
Okay. Thank you.
Just for clarification, when, you know, Mr. Young talked about in-stream flow impediment, and we talked about legacy diversions, et cetera, and say, okay, we don't have a mechanism to address that possibly under water quality. However, this falls under a purview of the Water Rights Division, because all diversions and impounding of water, surface water, falls under the and our sister in Sacramento. And for sure, when reviewing, you know, permits expire and they have to be renewed, and every time a permit is due for renewal, you know, under the new guidelines, you have to have a documented in-stream flow study to show what the impact to, you know, migratory species could be affected. And you also have to have you know, biological consultation with NIMS and with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. So I think there's, you know, there's another mechanism there that takes place as well. Yes, Lisa.
Lisa McCann, section manager. I just wanted to add also the possibility of doing TMDLs for biological impairments and flow we have that authority. If we have the data and the impairment is recognized, then we could look on a watershed basis at the flow impacts and potential solutions.
Thank you for this additional clarification. I'm looking on my right here, no additional input comments. All right, and we do have two speaker cards, which I would like to address now. First one is from Abby Taylor Silva.
Could I ask one question,
sure.
Dr.
While
Wolf?
Abby comes,
While she comes up, and that is, I noticed from your very first slide, you guys have a priority of about 7 or 8 different items. Where are you with the other items? Because you're not getting to number one, the highest priority.
Yes, Steve briefly mentioned it. We're working on number one. We have an internal team, an interdisciplinary team of people to basically develop the methodology to identify watershed processes that we're not adequately protecting. But to go through, we're going through a process to identify which ones are our highest priority. We have an internal team working on that. It's been slightly slowed down because the person leading that is the person who will be talking to you tomorrow about the Salinas River. But we are moving on that. So most of our basin planning resources are going to that number one high priority. Some of them went to this number two priority, which we're presenting to you today. And then we threw in number 6 and 9 because we'd already done a lot of progress on that. We figured we should just get that done.
What's the estimated time for completion of number one?
The schedule has slipped, I think, realistically, 2 years.
2 years, okay.
Yeah. So. It's a large, complex project that involves...
Okay.
Addressing watershed problems in a way we historically have not.
Okay. Are any of your resources being put on any of the other lesser priority items at this point?
Not right now.
Okay, good. So I would expect then the next one we're going to see is number one, and no more number 6, 7, 8, or 9.
Noted.
Okay.
And definitely not a 3.5.
Okay.
Sorry. So, Abby, please.
Hi, thank you for having me. Abby Taylor Silva with the Grower Shipper Association of Central California. Thank you to staff for all of your work on this, and we were pleased to attend your CEQA review meeting on that. We did submit comments. We do remain concerned, though, that this update does not take into account our request for clarifying language on the Healthy Watershed Vision language. Basin plans are a regulation, and therefore it is inappropriate to include a vision statement as part of the basin plan. We're concerned that this statement could be interpreted as a regulatory mandate instead of a goal. And we're also concerned that these goals might not be scientifically achievable in the time period set, as we understand they have not been vetted or scientifically peer reviewed for achievability. So we will continue to request that clarifying language be included in the basin plan that notes the Healthy Watershed Vision contains goals for planning purposes that are not intended to be included as water quality standards or objectives in permits or water management plans. Also, based upon our comments, the staff noted they've removed the coal designation in the Tembladero and the Salinas Reclamation Canal, which we appreciate and believe is appropriate. We also ask that staff consider changing reconsider their change of median to mean, it's a little confusing, in the document, and they replied saying that the original intent of the language was to make that change and it hadn't been done. So I want to make some comments on that, and they're both mine and those of Lowell Zielinski, who was here earlier and had to leave. So while we understand the change is only a change on a title to reflect what's has been done over the last many years, we wonder why that change was made in the first place and what its value is. I feel this change should be reviewed and discussed in more detail by board and staff. As I've been told, in many cases, a median is a much better estimate of a measure of central tendency than mean is. and central tendency, which I will admit I had to look up as a central or typical value for a probability distribution. So much environmental quality information is not normally distributed, and we don't believe that mean is a valid estimate. And I wonder, as I was thinking about this more and looking into it, I think that perhaps staff meant arithmetic mean, arithmetic, which is not synonymous with other types of means like geometric mean. And I'm concerned that mean is being used broadly, and really it means a certain kind of mean, because as I understand, arithmetic mean does measure the central tendency. So perhaps that needs to just be better clarified in the basin plan. Thank you.
Thank you. While Ms. Abby is here, would you like to comment on what you mean by the mean? And I mean, no puns intended, but I think it's appropriate to answer that question.
Yes, our ultimate goal is to have the basin plan be accurate, and we were revising the title of one of the tables in Chapter 3 that back in the 80s, the board approved a basin plan amendment, and it changed the interpretation of that table to mean mean values for these water quality objectives. And in the text that points to the table, staff somehow forgot to change that median word to mean. And that was the intent of the board at that time in the 80s. And so I made that change now because it was simply a clarification of something that occurred back in the 80s, and that was the board's intent. I didn't try to analyze, you know, the different types of medians and the different definitions of mean, and I just wanted to restore it to what the resolution said back in the 80s and how it should look now based on a previous board resolution.
Thank you for clarifying that. The other speaker card is from Loa Zielinski, and you covered his comment?
Okay.
Perfect. So these were the two comment cards that we had. And, you know, in regard to the having our vision embedded, you know, I think our vision is embedded in other documents too, because although we're a regulatory agency, you know, we see our healthy watershed vision as sort of being a broad base vision, mission, characteristics. So, you know, the staff has any other comment associated to having that language in there, or maybe some of my colleagues?
Well, was that one of the regulatory or non-regulatory?
It was a non-regulatory.
Non-regulatory.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
And we purposely put it in the introductory chapter of the basin plan. Water quality objectives are in Chapter 3 of the water of the basin plan. It's titled Water Quality Objectives. So Chapter 1 is introduction.
So Abby, does that clarify that or appease you? It's a non-regulatory change.
Yeah, I feel like it would be helpful to put in the next to the vision statement, just clarify a little bit more of what it's there for and what it means and that it's not a regulatory. I just feel like there's room for interpretation in here. So.
Oh, right. She did not speak into the mic.
Yes.
Okay. So.
And because we're, you know, having no interaction further with speaker, if there's anyone else in the room who would like to, you know, speak on this matter, and although, you know, we already passed the cards, you're welcome to comment. So I want to give an opportunity to anyone else, you know, to speak on this matter if you want to.
I'm sorry, could we please have Abby repeat that? Because that did not go on the record.
Yeah, and then introduce yourself and then repeat what you said.
Sure. Abby Taylor Silva with the Grower Shipper Association of Central California. And my response is I really believe that there should be clarifying language within the context in which the vision statement is written. And in our letter, we suggested that it just be noted that the vision contains goals for planning purposes, but they are not intended to be included as water quality standards or objectives in permits or water management plans. And I think something like that would do well.
So I guess my question would be, is do we differentiate within the basin plan itself as to what's regulatory and what's non-regulatory?
Well, once something's in, no, we don't. Once the entire basin plan has force of regulation because it's approved by the Office of Administrative Law.
Right.
However, water quality standards actions, when EPA approves our basin plan amendments, they take action on chapters 2 and 3, beneficial uses and water quality objectives.
And those are the regulatory components?
Those are the water quality standards components of the basin plan.
Or the regulatory components that you were referring to when you started this presentation?
I've bifurcated into regulatory, non-regulatory, because there's different pathways for approval when it goes to the Office of Administrative Law. And so originally we were going to just have a whole set of non-regulatory amendments, and it was going to go before the board, and it would be sort of an easier case. And then we added revisions of beneficial uses, so it kind of became a combined effort. And so that's why I continue to differentiate between regulatory and non-regulatory.
Okay.
I think the board, we're using regulatory in a couple of different contexts.
Right.
And so one of them is regulatory in terms of how it goes through the amendment process. And the other is regulatory in terms of what effect it has on future things like permits, et cetera. This section is non-regulatory in terms of the approval process. It is also not in the same section that we refer to as water quality objectives for permitting what standards they have to meet. This is not a standard that has to be met.
Okay. I mean, is there anything about the vision framework component?
So if you look at what it is, it's on page 25 of 295 in attachment 1A of your documents, and it's 1.7, Central Coast Water Board vision. And this is essentially the vision for the future of what will be in our ground and surface water and what our kind of environment will be. It's not a standard, it's just a nice lofty goal.
So
25
of 295.
Right, it's the attachment pages aren't numbered differently, so it'll be
item 9, attachment 1A.
Right.
Page 25 of 295, date of July 28, 29, 2016.
If anyone's having trouble finding it, we have it on the screen now.
There it is.
It's out of focus.
So what is the definitions for clean? Like under clean groundwater. Clean just means it meets all applicable water quality standards for groundwater, for the beneficial uses designated for that groundwater body, basically. Is that
right? That it meets the water quality objectives.
Okay.
So as we're discussing this, I invited any other member of the public if you wanted to add comments. So, Mr. Schimmick.
Steve Schimmick, the Otter Project in Monterey Coast Keeper. I won't take up much of your time. I wasn't even planning on talking. But I just want to bring to your attention the fact that the Reclamation Ditch, and then by default, Tembladero Slough, but the Reclamation Ditch has historic records of steelhead. So if you change it from cold water to warm water, I doubt very much that that is protective of steelhead. And that is historic record. There's pictures of steelhead in the Reclamation Ditch, and the Reclamation Ditch feeds into Tembladero Slough. So I'm not saying that there are historical records of steelhead in Tembladero, but by default, that's how you get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schimmick. Comments?
Yes. The basin plan already designates Tembladero and Salinas Rec Canal for warm water species. And we were going to add cold, but we decided against it based on the National Marine Fisheries documentation. We are adding that whole corridor from the headlands, Gavilan, to Old Salinas River as a migratory pathway. So we're designating those two water bodies for migration. And that's because of the known presence of steelhead.
Thank you for the clarification. So back to 1.7. You know, I can see personally, both sides where we say, well, if we have regulatory and non-regulatory things embedded, it's a little confusing. And if we do, we know that our vision is non-regulatory. Maybe there is a way to, in some good phraseology, to clarify that, and maybe that meets everyone's level of comfort on the language. Just a thought.
I'm just wondering about, definitions here. What are key parameters, and what does healthy mean?
But I think sometime, Mr. Young, when you look at I equate sometime a vision and a mission, having similarities, and often terms are used kind of broad as, inspirational, but without precise scientific meaning.
Yeah.
So, I view this almost like a mission statement.
Right. Well, it's the one we've been talking about that Michael Thomas.
That's why it's in the introduction and not in either of the other chapters where it would have. It would be a water quality standard.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything here that the board itself can use against any discharger or stakeholder in terms of enforcement at all. Correct?
That was not the intent by placing it in there. It was to honor the vision statement itself and the measurable goals.
So Ms. Gray and then Mr. Johnston.
So thank you. I was prior to Ms. Taylor Silva comment, I was looking through here and was potentially thinking, why don't we just add something that says vision? But it's clear that this is a vision statement, which is a sort of global feel-good kind of aspect to the plan. And it's clear that everything else in here is not enforceable, at least to me. So I'm not sure that any other language is needed, although I do appreciate the comment.
Mr. Johnston?
Just so I'm clear, from staff or council, Ms. Taylor Silva was suggesting some sort of language preceding the text of 1.7 that essentially just said this is non-regulatory language, this is our general vision. Does that weaken the basic basin plan? Does that, is there a downside for us, or is the opposition to it just based on feeling it's redundant?
We could add something to that, like it is a vision statement. It is not going to be used as a hammer later. It is not a water quality objective that must be met. It is simply a vision statement. The board could say that explicitly if the board wanted to change the language. Staff felt that it was already clear enough that it wasn't necessary to gild that lily.
Right, so staff felt it was unnecessary. Is there any downside to adding it is my question.
We would have to decide what language to put in there right now without, so someone would have to write it and we'd have to review it on the fly. We can do that.
We've done that before.
That's why we got lawyers.
Okay, go ahead.
I just have a concern that we're going to start parsing out which parts of the basin plan to actually put qualifying language like that in. And I do think that this is really clear to me that this is just a vision of what the board wants to achieve, and that I don't see any way that the board itself can use language in here against a discharger. I think that would be the concern. So I would just, you know, caution us against trying to go down that path and cherry picking this one out when there's probably a bunch of other sections that should be, then be treated the same way.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. I do believe, and I mean this is my view and interpretation of what is stated here, in the final paragraph, it is further clarified, I believe, in the statement that reads, the measurable goals toward meeting the vision of healthy watersheds and measurable goals by developing and implementing a report card based on integrating and assessing key indicators that will provide the information necessary to determine whether the above three measurable goals are being attained in watersheds in the Central Coast region. Then it goes on, last sentence, to say that the Central Coast Board staff will establish data management and assessment infrastructure so this process can be successfully maintained and repeated in future years. So, I mean, it is stated as part of the vision that this is meant to identify or at least put some parameters around the types of indicators that would help to let the region know where we are in terms of meeting healthy watersheds. To me, that clarifies how these goals are intended to be applied. I think for me, that's pretty clear. I know where the board currently, and I understand, I believe that the concern might be that a future board might look at this differently, but I think the intent here is to develop indicators which have nothing to do with the specific standards and objectives that are delineated in regard to beneficial uses. So that would be my view on this.
Mr. Johnson?
I guess I tend to agree. The language is pretty clear. And our intent is pretty clear, and I kind of share everybody else's reluctance to start parsing everything. Perhaps a simple way to deal with the concern is to include in the motion that's not the intent of the board to use the vision statement as a regulatory measure, and to make sure that that gets captured in the minutes, and if some future board wants to look at it differently, then Abby, if she's still around, can go dig up those minutes. That way we don't have to start rewriting on the fly, because I share the concern about that.
Yeah, and I would like to, you know, as a little side comment, I would suggest that we avoid in future language in the basin of inputting some too much
non-regulatory items in there, because then I would share the concern of looking at this 295-page document and trying to figure what is regulatory and what is not. So I'd say, okay, fine on this one, but I would say lessons learned. Let's make sure in the future we don't, you know, start adding other peripherals which are not, you know, regulatory mandate, at least from our based on plan perspective. So thank you for making that suggestion. I look around, do we have any more comments?
I'd like to thank staff for putting this in, because for the general public, lay people, and for myself, it's nice to have an English introduction that may not be regulatory and therefore not burdened with language that would bore people or make them think that they're not part of the group that understands this information. It's just nice to have this information, and I think it expresses some laudable goals that are overreaching. So I just want to say thank you for this text. I appreciate it.
I think we're kind of missing the overall picture of what's going on with our basin plan. So we've got actually two chapters that address compliance issues that could be used against a discharger, right? We have standards and then water quality objectives. Is that correct? And each one is in its own chapter?
Chapter 2 is beneficial uses, and then Chapter 3 is water quality objectives established to protect those beneficial uses.
Okay. Now, how many chapters do we have altogether?
6.
So there's 4 other chapters that have nothing to do with what the rest of us seem to think are potentially regulatory items, the way they're using the word regulatory. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of other language in the basin plan, like 1.7.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Lisa McCann, section manager. I just wanted to remind you that the reason that we're talking about this today is because it was one of the many items that was brought to staff and then to the board as possibilities for basin plan amendments in the future back in 2014. And this was in there as this language, as this idea, as a non-regulatory add. So we're just here to follow through on that. No, it wasn't high priority, but it was easy to do administratively and with resources that we have, so.
And so you need to clarify, when you use the word regulatory in that context, you mean administratively.
I said non-regulatory.
Yeah, non-regulatory meaning administratively versus the other process you were speaking of.
No, my point is that there are things that when we consider changing the basin plan, they can be, the way we were originally using it, regulatory versus and or non-regulatory. 2 chapters of regulatory in this context, 4 chapters of non-regulatory. So this was before the public and you as a non-regulatory, a recommendation to make this addition as a non-regulatory item. That's all.
So thank you for doing what we asked.
Yeah, and sometimes we have a short memory. Yes, Ms. Gray.
Yeah, I just, not to belabor yet again, but I do want to just echo what Mayor Delgado said, in the sense that it contextualizes what we're doing here in a regulatory manner, and I think I appreciate that. I think it really is necessary that we give some sort of overall understanding as to, you know, we're nesting our regulations within a broader context. So I appreciate the introduction and the vision. I mean, if I had my way, my visions would be, you know, implemented in a enforcement manner, but they're not. So I think, you know, visions are good, and we should honor those. Thank you.
All right. So I think we covered this, and you know, perhaps now it's time for we certainly will embed Mr. Johnston comment and suggestion in the minutes, and I'm sure you do. With great diligence, you wrote that down.
It's also in the response to comments, so it is already in the record that the proposed language is intentionally being added to the introductory chapter to ensure that these statements are not interpreted as water quality objectives or standards.
Okay, perfect. So do we have a motion?
I make a motion.
I second.
Comments?
What is the motion?
The motion is that we adopt the proposed amendments to the basin plan with the understanding that the vision statement is included to provide context and not to create water quality objectives or standards.
And this is for resolution R3-2016-0030.
And who seconded it?
Monica.
Thank you.
So roll call, please.
Board Chair Wolf?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Ms. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Johnston?
Aye.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Mr. Delgado?
Yes.
Ms. Gray?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So this concludes this item.